What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to America Unplugged right here on Iconic. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in yet again. Greetings and blessings. My name is Billy Ray Valentine. Hope everybody is doing well. We got a show for you today. We got the usual suspects here with me today, and we have a very special guest to bring you, which you're all very familiar with. But first, I'm going to go to that dude, Mr. Tony Atterburn, the wise wolf himself. What is going on?
Great to be back, Billy.
What's up, buddy?
Awesome to have Charlie on. Great to be with you and Don. AU is the gold standard once again.
Yes, sir.
Let's go, baby. The week.
That's right. We got the legendary Mr. Don Jeffries. What is going on, sir? Tell us something.
Always a pleasure, Billy, and that'd be with Tony and Charlie Robinson and you both. So we have, boys, it's an embarrassment of riches here.
And of course, Mr. Charlie Robinson, an unofficial member. He's been here since the beginning also. Mr. Robinson, the hardest working man in the alternative media, hands down, bar none. I know you mentioned somebody else, sir. I don't know who that is. So in my mind, it is you. What is going on, sir? Thank you, and welcome back to America Unplugged. What's up?
Thanks for having me. I mean, I feel like the four of us, we just got in the car. We got an hour-long road trip. We're going to get down to some business. We're going to solve some problems and talk about some mysteries. I can't wait. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Well, we're sure as hell going to try. Anyway, Mr. Tony Atterburn, we were talking off air, and we want to get into a couple of things. Let's see what we can get into. I do want to talk about Elon Musk being the ruler of Mars, according to Werner von Braun, you know, years ago. So I do want to talk about that. I want to talk a little bit about ADHD, so don't let me forget about that. But Mr. Tony Atterburn brought up what I did there.
You know, but, that's good.
But Tone, you brought up something about super soldiers, and that's incredibly interesting to me. Tell me something about it, and then we'll go around the table.
Well, sure. Yeah. And as Charlie mentioned, if we were in a car physically, I think our chances of being droned would go through the roof. All of us in one physical space. I'm glad that we're in a virtual world right now.
Right. Especially if we were going to a wedding party, we would most definitely.
Oh, yeah.
That's their favorite.
One thing we can definitely count on is our social credit score is really going to plummet now that we have Charlie. Yeah. I mean, it's gone down before, but now that Charlie's here, it's a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. We're definitely in the negative. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, they're already starting to seize stuff out of my office right now. violating thought crime. Yesterday I saw the article on Zero Hedge. The Space Force chief scientist says they're developing augmented super soldiers. And if you read on, it has to do with an article written by John Radcliffe, who was the director of national intelligence, former congressman in my hometown. And he didn't give any specifics as to why China was suspected of doing that. But now you see all around the world, the French are getting into it, the Germans, and of course, the U.S. And I know that we've been doing this already, but this is another one of those the leaks to get you used to the reality of genetically altered super soldiers.
Wow, man. I mean, I don't know. Would you take it?
No.
I might want to take that serum. I've watched so much of Captain America that I figured I'm like, you know what? This might be a good thing for me. I don't know. But I mean, the reality of it, to be honest with you, all jokes aside, I was, like I told you off air, I was watching Falcon and the Winter Soldier with the family last night. And, you know, it's a spinoff of the Marvel superhero movies. And Captain America is dead, you know, and Captain America is famous for the super soldier serum, right? That's how he became Captain America. And now the Falcon has taken over the role of Captain America, and he doesn't have the super soldier serum. He's just a regular guy. So I'm trying to explain to my kids, because it's really unbelievable that he's fighting all these people with super soldier serum and he's still like living, you know, because he should be dead ultimately. But I'm like, are they going to give this guy the super soldier serum? And then we started talking about the possibilities of it being a real thing, you know, and I don't remember when they came up. I think they came up with Captain America as a result of World War II.
Right.
Right. That was the whole deal for it. So, I mean, back then they were talking about things like this. I think personally, if it's in the mainstream now, and I know we all agree, if it's in the mainstream now, they've had it for quite some time. So who knows what the hell is walking around out there? It's a very scary situation, to be honest with you. Don Jeffries, I'm going to go to you. What's up, sir?
Well, yeah, these, and certainly we continue to look at are the masters of war, as Bob Dylan called them, continue to look at ways of refining this horrible thing called war. No one seems to want peace. Does anybody even talk about peace? You got Gerald Talente's Occupy Peace and Ni Sheehan and people like that, but nobody listens to him, unfortunately. They don't have a platform outside of, you know, maybe coming on my show if they'll do that. But I worked with an old Chinese guy once years ago, the legendary Danny Liu, had a huge impact on me. And he used to talk about, he tried to tell, of course, he didn't speak English that well. So but I think the gist I got of it was he tried to claim something like that was going on. And he was pretty old, way back when. He kept saying, China got a lot of secrets, man. China got a lot of secrets. And I said, okay. So, but he tried to tell me that some kind of magical soldiers or something they had, you know, back then. So I think there's, you know, one thing Alex Jones talks about, he talks about the technology they have. They're only letting you know about a small portion of it. So my guess is they've had these things around for a while. I mean, I don't know if there's any Terminators walking around or not, but I would just assume that they just create artificial soldiers and just fight that way. You know, then nobody would have to lose their lives. And if they can't stop the wars, just go ahead, you know, and you know, have robots kill each other or whatever, or destroy each other. I mean, but I think that they enjoy the bloodletting. So I think the best, you know, if they create these super soldiers, they're still going to be human beings. But I don't put anything past them. It certainly sounds feasible because we're living in a science fiction.
I agree. It's reminiscent of Dr. Peter Beter, to bring that up again, that he said, but way back in the day, that, you know, that they had organic robotoids, right? And it's kind of the same thing, right? Like if you don't want you know, that would be the rationale, like, people don't get hurt, we're creating these things, then they will fight for us. But then it's inevitable that they turn it on the people. It's inevitable, right? It's inevitable. There is no way around it. We've already seen the Anubis dogs that are patrolling the streets nowadays, right? Like, I mean, it's, they're going to turn these technologies on the people. Charlie Robinson, what are you thinking, sir? Super soldiers.
Well, you know, it still won't stop the collateral damage that they always do. You see the statistics of World War One. I think the collateral damage of civilians was about 10% of those killed were civilians. Moved up to, I think, 30% in World War II, 50% in Vietnam, and in Iraq it was 90%. So that's with human beings at the controls, not maybe hopefully caring not to kill, you know, civilians, and still killing 90% of them. What happens when robots, without a thought, you know, what happens when these things are unleashed and they can't differentiate between an enemy combatant and a lady with her kids, you know? So I saw, you know, RoboCop. I know what happens, you know, when the thing goes crazy in the boardroom and shoots everybody. I mean, so we've got DARPA, we've got Black Mirror sort of leaking this stuff out or showing like a 15-year out futuristic world that we're living in. The Boston Dynamics robot dogs and Singapore, and now we saw them in the New York housing projects coming out. I mean, that is chilling. So I'm no fan of this. I don't like the idea of the super soldier component. I think that, I mean, obviously I don't like the idea of the war, but, but it's, this is unfortunately what happens in the United States. You take when the new technology comes out, the very first thing they look to do is weaponize it or figure out how it'll be applied in that sort of theater. And then after it serves its useful purpose and they've got a new batch of technology that'll take its place, then we get the hand-me-down. Then it becomes like nightly news about, hey, oh, look at this new technology that we just discovered, which, you know, some aspects of the military have had for decades. So I'm not looking forward to this. You see also the propaganda rolling out through the television and through these movies talking about, you know, sort of normalizing this. Everything about it leads me to think about the slow incremental sort of announcement of these robots over the years, starting with movies like Terminator and things like that. And we were like, wow, this is great science fiction. And then as we get, as all of us get a little bit older and we remember watching that movie in the theaters, you know, 25, 30 years ago, there's a lot of similarities. There's a lot of things that they were talking about that are now not just real, but kind of normalized and ingrained in our life. So I have major hesitations about anything like this.
I mean, of course, right? Because it's never good for us. But what I do want to ask, and this is a serious question, and please answer honestly, right? And Tony already kind of did, but I'm still going back to you. I'm going to give you a second chance, sir, to come clean with me and tell me that you would take the super soldier serum. So if they give you super soldier serum, right, it's like, hey, this is going to take away any ailments you may have. You're gonna be 20 years old in the body again. Any fat, you're going to be super cut up. You're going to be able to jump across buildings, and you'll probably live another 100 years as a result. Captain America, he survived an atomic bomb blast, right? You would be able to do the same theoretically. Would you or would you not take it, sir?
No, there seems to be some sort of, I was going to say Faustian bargain. It's Faustian bargain in that, but, you know, I really think that if you look at, this isn't anything new under the sun, by the way. You've got, right. Stalin tried this in the 1930s, a well-documented case of trying to impregnate a human female with gorilla sperm. Nice. And there is evidence that they succeeded on some level, and of course the whatever it was died, you know, some abomination. So I think tinkering with genetics, tinkering with the life that God gave you is, I don't know, it's a risk that I'm not willing to take. I was a paratrooper in the Army. I fought in illegal wars. So I wouldn't want to fight in any more wars or be a super soldier. So I'm good with that. So that my answer is no, Billy.
Okay. Don Jeffries, I'm coming to you. And don't copy Tony Atterburn. Okay?
Well, it's certainly, tempting to become a superhero. We all want to have our superhero thing, but yeah, I mean, it's, there's in there always these, you watch enough of these horror movies, going back to Bela Lugosi and the mad scientist all the way through the Terminator and the science fiction film, to know that these things never work out well. So these, you know, when you're tinkering with nature, there's always a price to pay, you know, it's a Frankenstein complex or whatever, but something like this, it cannot possibly work out well, because let's say if something like this did exist, then why would you just give it to super soldiers? If you had the technology to inject somebody with something to eliminate, make them basically invulnerable, and live an extra 100 years, why wouldn't you want to provide that to the general population? Why can't we all get a cut of that? You know, I mean, that would be the argument. Why is it just for war? You know, but so yeah, I first of all, I have my doubts that anything would work. Like, even I don't think it would be, because I don't think they would want to give this. They don't do anything for the benefit of the average person. Right. So I don't think they're going to do anything to create a bunch of, I mean, because after the soldiers survive the wars and they're going to be running around like a bunch of Captain Americas, I mean, couldn't they become supervillains? I mean, theoretically, or, you know, a deranged Superman? I mean, it's very, as Tony said, a very Faustian or Faustian bargain there. And I wouldn't want any part of it.
That's new. Coined right here on America Unplugged. We keep pumping them out every week. So now the Faustian bargain, that's what we're going with. Hey, Charlie, what's up, buddy? No super soldier serum for you?
I don't trust the source, you know? Yeah. I don't trust the government. If the government's giving it to you, I mean, look, they want us all dead because they don't want us. They can't, because the Social Security system would collapse if we lived an extra 100 years. You know, they want us dead. I wouldn't take anything they were handing out. I'm fine. I'm content to live in this imperfect body that I have for as long as I can. And I'm totally good with that. And I don't trust the side effects. Look, like anything, you get superpowers. What do you lose? Maybe you lose your sense of self. Maybe you lose your sense. Maybe it's a mental thing. So, you know, maybe you don't know who you are anymore. Maybe you're you feel obligated to go out and fight these wars forever because you are a super soldier. I wouldn't want any of that. So I'm good. I'm content to just take my 100% natural organic body and ride it until I can't ride it anymore.
Very, very righteous crew here today. I'll tell you this. We're going to see it in our lifetime. I think we will see a super soldier rolled out. He might be a celebrity as a result. I'll tell you this. It'll be a very, very difficult thing to turn down if they put that in front of me. But the only reason I would turn it down is because I think something would go horribly wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I just think something would go horribly wrong. We really don't know what we're messing with. We really don't know what the hell we're doing. Ultimately, anything that takes us. See, I think we can do this. And here we go with my New Ager beliefs, right, that everybody tells me about. I think we can do this on our own, right? I really think we have the abilities to do this, God-given, to do many things. So to do it artificially is not a good thing because we have no idea what's going to go down. And the side effects are probably, they probably outweigh, you know, any of the benefits that you would get from it. So I'd have to turn it down, unfortunately, but I would really, really, really like to, you know, be able to run super quick and jump through buildings. That, I mean, it sounds amazing. I mean, you know, I'd love to do it. Don Jeffries, we're going to go to you, sir. You had something you wanted to talk about. So let us know. What's up?
Well, no, they're talking about something they're calling, you know, there's so many Orwellian terms now. I mean, it's like they're just rereading 1984 and using the language there. But they're coming up with something they want to call a disinformation task force. And we hear a lot about disinformation, which it bothers me a lot because, you know, again, I've talked about hate speech and all these Orwellian terms that began with hate speech and now it's disinformation. And we have freedom of speech, but not conspiracy theories, not hate, not racism, whatever. And none of these terms can be defined. I mean, none of those things can legally be even, you know, nobody agrees on what they are. What do you mean? So it's very, what is disinformation? I mean, you know, we all of us here think that pretty much everything you would read or see in the mainstream media is disinformation. Yeah, I'd like to ban that if we could, because it's damaging. But they consider any alternative to that. So if you're you know, breaking a little part of that force field, if you're trying to chip through and to any degree at all, that's disinformation. And you know, Joe Biden's obviously going to sign this, but it's looking at the groups. I think one of the groups that are pressuring him to do this actually calls itself Free Press. And I mean, it's unbelievable. You talk about a doublespeak or news, I mean, doublethink. But the idea that a group like that, and you should have read like their press release. I mean, I it's unbelievable. It's basically like we have to combat disinformation so that we can keep up healthy exchange of ideas. Like, what? You know, it's like, you know, the old, you know, the argument about Hiroshima and Nagasaki. You know, we did that to save lives. I mean, that's the argument. That's the ultimate double thing. And so I just think it's very dangerous. And so many people now, I can't tell you how many times I read online or some stupid celebrity said, hate speech is not free speech. It's become a new line. It's like, what are you talking about? Free speech is free speech. But unfortunately, a large section of America doesn't agree with it anymore. So I'm sure the disinformation task force will be applauded by probably a majority of Americans.
Right. No, there's a lot of people that are going to be behind this 100%, you know, probably on both sides of the aisle. And who chooses what this information is, right? Who gets to say who is right and who is wrong? You know, this is just another disaster waiting to happen. Charlie, give me your thoughts, man.
Well, hate speech a lot of times is just speech that they hate. You know, it's not necessarily even something negative, but just looking back on over the last 12 months with the COVID situation, think of how many times you've put out information on, say, Twitter about something, and then they fact check it underneath, or they run a little thing, or they ban you for information that then 3 months later turns out to be 100% true. And you're not retroactively put back on. So the slippery slope of labeling things disinformation. I mean, we just watched a year of them moving the goalposts.
Right.
2 weeks to flatten the curve. Two months. You know, 2 years. Wear the masks. Oh well, they're temporary. Oh okay. Well now you got to wear one. Now you got to wear two. Well maybe you'll wear them forever. Get the shot. Get the shot. It'll go back to normal. Oh, okay, we all got the shot. Okay. Well now you got to still wear the mask. Right. Okay. Well now you probably have to get another shot. I mean, so. If they'll do the same thing with disinformation. Oh, well, this is now disinformation. Oh, well, there's a study that contradicts that. So what you've said is disinformation. So you're gone. I mean, like you said, it will come into this society with thunderous applause from the brain dead morons out there that don't understand how it actually works. It'll sound good.
Right.
They always name it something that sounds good, right? it's always like Freedom Act or, you know, Patriot Act or whatever, you know, and you're like, oh, yay, it's gonna save us. And then you peel it back and you're like, oh, it's the exact opposite of the name. So if it's, you know, if it's a disinformation task force, what you should expect is a whole lot of disinformation coming your way.
Right, man. Right. A whole lot of manipulation mentally and emotionally coming out of whatever they tell you is correct. Mr. Tony Atterburn, thoughts?
Well, supposedly the word news comes from the acronym North, East, West, and South. So this could be a way to completely capture the digital territory and make, you know, normal actors such as journalists or alternative media into enemy combatants in that information war. So, I mean, they're pushing this more and more because they have to get control of the narrative because it's slipping away from them.
Right.
Wow. So I see this as, I mean, they're going to do more draconian censorship. They're partners with big tech. You know, it's laughable that these libertarian types, which I consider myself a libertarian in many ways, but they say like Facebook's a private company, YouTube and Google a private company. Like, no, they work hand in hand with the defense industry, with the government to censor and to track. So no, our profession and what we're doing right now is highly important. It's very much needed, and we're going to have to be nimble and we're going to have to be on our guard 24/7.
Agreed 100%. And that's why outlets like this, the alternative media, are really needed just to present the counter narrative to everything that's going on, because there will be no counter. Man, it's incredible. Before we move on to the next subject, man, if you Google things right now, you know what you're going to get. Like, if you Google, for instance, a Boston Marathon conspiracy, you don't even get the real conspiracy. You get debunked, debunked, debunked. Like, all I want to know is what the conspiracy was, right? So I you can't even get that. First 20 results are how everything is bullshit, you know, and that's what we have now. The fake Library of Alexandria, right? That we have here in Google, that where we can't access crap except for what they let us access. And we have serious problems coming down the pipe for that. All right, Mr. Robinson, you had something to talk about. Let us know. What's up?
Well, we've got this new cyber attack forces shutdown of largest gasoline pipeline in the United States. And, you know, for people in the alternative media or people that enjoy this sort of content, one of the things that I feel like the longer you do this, the better you get at recognizing operations when you see them. You know, when you get real good at recognizing problem, reaction, solution sort of scenarios. So when you see a cyber attack forces shutdown of largest gas pipeline, my feeling is this is clearly a setup. I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of it yet. I'm speculating, but I feel comfortable speculating that there is more to this story than is being reported. Because here's how it's being reported. And as we get, you know, as we study events like this, because of our ability for pattern recognition, you'll start to spot some of the same little words and phrases that they use. So listen to this. The Washington Post reported that ransomware was used in the attack, citing two U.S. officials it didn't identify. It wasn't clear if the attack was carried out by foreign government hackers or a criminal group, the officials told the Post. In ransomware attacks, hackers typically encrypt an organization's computer files and then demand a ransom payment to unlock the data. So, how long before we hear Russia did it? Right? I mean, that is 100% coming. Or even here's a future setup. Unnamed hackers that we would have known exactly who they were had we had a digital internet ID card. Wow. And since we didn't have a digital internet ID card, we're never going to know who these hackers are. So what we're going to do from this point on is we're going to institute a digital internet ID card so that we can never have these sort of issues again. It's for your safety, of course. It's to prevent Russian hackers from turning off your gas. And gas will go to $14 a gallon in the East Coast, and everyone will freak out. Problem? We had a cyber attack. Reaction? Holy shit, my gas went to $14. Make it stop. Solution? internet ID card. So it might not happen exactly that way, but this is the pattern that they use. These are the tactics that they use. They don't get very creative. They don't have to. You know, it works really well, frankly. Right. So you control the media and you get them to put out bullshit stories from unidentified sources or government officials or people close to the president's thinking, which is the ultimate nothing, you know, and you put that out and then you just put it out over and over again. And you have all of your assets in the media do boom, 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 cyber attacks. All you hear for the next 9 months is cyber attacks are coming. They're coming. They're going to take off. And then it rolls in. And so I see something like this. Now, could it be a legit cyber attack? Sure, of course. I mean, would it be a good target? Yeah, absolutely. But they role played this. They role played this stuff before the election. I had Whitney Webb on my show and we talked about this. They role played on the day of the election, cyber attacks on water treatment facilities and power grids and cyber attacks, remote hacking Teslas and auto driving them into people standing in line to vote. So none of those things didn't happen, but they role played them. And if we know anything about role playing, we know that we might see those sorts of events later in the future. So whenever I hear cyber attack, my ears go up and I go, okay, hang on a second. There's probably a little bit more to this story. So I get really bad vibes from this story.
I agree, man. When they role play something, they plan on doing it in some way, shape, or form. And they plan out different scenarios. You don't know which one you're going to get, but you're going to get one of them. Mr. Atterburn, what's up?
Well, notice the key words here, ransomware, right? That has to do with how you get paid. How do hackers supposedly want to get paid? They want to get paid in cryptocurrency, Bitcoin. Like I was talking about a couple of months ago, the Pentagon was running a war game scenario against a Gen Z Bitcoin revolt. The establishment, the powers that be, the military industrial complex and the banksters hate cryptocurrency. They hate Bitcoin. And this would be another way to say, look, mega criminals and foreign governments want to get paid in this awful, awful digital currency that sucks up all this energy, and we've got to get rid of it. So this is, I think, an added bonus, and I think you'll start seeing more and more attacks in the media against things like Bitcoin. They're already going after it environmentally, the usual suspects and the stooges. They rolled out Bill Maher against it the other day. Charlie Munger was talking about it, all these investors. I think this is this could be something that syncs together. Of course, that's how my prism, I look through it, you know, gold, silver, Bitcoin, stuff I study every day. But yeah, a foreign entity doing a cyber attack would not want to get paid or put in anything. They would just attack you. You know, they would just, this would be strategic in the sense of what they gain. So this would, to me, looks like, I think everything's an inside job, but this looks like an inside job to me.
Hey, you remember, it takes me back. It's not 100% related, but kind of is. Vault 7, CIA Vault 7, when all of that came out a few years ago, and what they're able to do, you know, and have, you know, fake cyber footprints out, you know, and they can pretty much blame whomever they want for cyber attacks and anything like that. They can make it look like the Russians did it, but it came out of some base in the U.S. or something like that. Always got to keep an eye on it. What's up, Don Jeffries?
Yeah, you know, just hearing about it, when the establishment talks about hackers or anything like that, it reminds me so much of how decades they groomed the public to accept this terrorism stuff. When, you know, I believe that the powers that be created whatever terrorists existed, because, you know, since 9/11, if real terrorists existed, just look at our power grids. I mean, they'd be drooling anticipation, because it wouldn't take much to take them out at all. And no, we haven't seen any terror. The terrorists seem to have disappeared largely, much as the flu has with the virus. So thank goodness for that. COVID has done some good, because now we don't have to worry about terrorism anymore. I don't hear anybody talk about it. But again, this is another attempt where the establishment, the usual suspects who we know are responsible for a lot of wrongdoing, intelligence agencies, the Pentagon, our government in general, continually tries to create hobgoblins and shift the blame for the things that they're probably doing, if they're being done at all, onto mysterious and vague shadowy hackers that, you know, maybe they'll round some poor schmuck up and throw them into prison like they've done already. They've done that with Ross Ulbricht and people like that, and put them in prison for long, incredible draconian prison sentences. But they never are. They notice the I think it was Charlie was talking about that, where they were saying whether it was sources, these unnamed sources were unknown, whether it was a foreign government or hackers, or whatever. There's no sense that it could be an inside job because it never is. And of course, the foreign hobgoblin of choice at this point still is Russia. So easily they could just be another Russian hacking scheme. We went through all this nonsense with WikiLeaks and the mysterious hacking of the DNC emails. And that's just another term of with WikiLeaks hacking. I don't know. I mean, I think they were doing something great journalistically, letting the public know about what their leaders are doing. And I loved reading the Podesta emails to see what was in there. But somehow that was converted by our corrupt press into a hacking situation by Russia, when in fact it was it should have been an admission that, hey, this is an expose of the DNC corruption and how they were trying to corrupt the process against Bernie Sanders in favor of Hillary Clinton. But they twisted that completely around, threw Russia in there, which is ridiculous. And Julian Assange is still in exile because of it. So I don't. Whenever I hear hackers, I kind of react the way I used to when people used to talk about the problem of terrorism. Yeah, no, I don't. There's a lot of problems in the world. I don't think terrorists or hackers are on my very high on my list.
It's important. You mentioned a couple of important things there in relation to the DNC hack, and you know how easy it would have been, right? It's common sense. You want to look at what was actually in those documents. What happened there? But they twisted it into something completely different. And we know that. But we need to look at the people that lent themselves to that deception. And that was the DNC and the RNC, both of them, including Donald Trump, completely lending himself to the deception, playing the role of the whole Russia thing, never saying, hey, this isn't about Russia. Let's look at these emails, man. He never said it. He just said, I never had any collusion, played right into the role.
That's right.
Played right into the role. You know, and completely just pushed aside the actual issue. And, you know, that stuff was just under the rug, nothing to see here. Keep right on moving. Impeachment, let's go look at that. And, of course, that was a bunch of nonsense. But that's how they completely just X that out. And you see the complicity of both sides there, because both of themselves lent themselves to it in order to cover up something that probably implicated both sides. Thank you for bringing that up, sir. Unless somebody has something to say on this, we're moving on. Is that cool? Or do we got something? We're good?
Good with me.
We're good. Okay, cool. All right. Let's talk about this quick story here that I wanted to talk about. Children, when growing up near green spaces, may have a lower risk of developing ADHD. Now, this is something close to me. Because I'm always harping on this artificial society that we've built for ourselves, and how it has a ton of benefits, and it's beautiful in a lot of ways, right? We can do so many things, but in reality, it always, without exception, has consequences and side effects. And these are things we're not even looking for 9 times out of 10, because we really don't know what the hell we're screwing with. Almost going back to the superhuman serum thing that we talked about at the top of the hour here. All of this stuff, all of this artificial stuff, the computers, the televisions, the 5G, all of this stuff, 3G, let's go back. You know, it's not just 5G. It's all of this stuff that we've been doing. Microwaves, they're not good for you. They're not good for humans. This isn't the natural way of living, not the way we were intended to be. Now, the human body is incredibly resilient, and we are able to supersede some of this stuff and to push some of it off, but it doesn't come without its consequences. And ADHD is proving to be something that may be facilitated by this high-tech world that we're living in, completely separate from nature, right? Especially here in the city. I'm a city boy. You know, I've gone out to nature a few times because, you know, I'm a grown-ass man now. But when I was a kid and I was broke, I was in the hood and living in the concrete jungle. And that's all I've ever really known. And there's so many people that are like that, you know, and so many different things are going on with the psyche of people as a result of that. And now at least science seems to be catching up. At least they're reporting stuff like this. Before, it'd be complete nonsense to even say something like that. They'd be like, oh, you're stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. Now they're actually saying, okay, there might be something to this. Charlie, I'm going to you first. What do you got?
Well, I mean, you can go back to stories of Steve Jobs when he was alive, talking about how he wouldn't let his kids use the iPad. Okay. I mean, and when the guy's company is the one that develops it, maybe we should listen to him because he might know a little bit about the mechanics behind it. We know that television puts you in a weird sort of state. Clearly the tablets are doing the same thing. There's a rise in ADHD, but that could be, I mean, there's obviously ties to vaccines. It's a known side effect that can come from that, but getting outside and just being out and doing kids stuff outside, you know, the article mentioned being near green spaces. Well, let's just talk about outside in general, like out just going out and doing kids stuff instead of staying inside. Right. I think that just in and of itself, taking the technology, turning it off for a little while and going out and playing in the yard or riding your bike or doing all those things, that has benefits. Right. That's what we're meant to do. We're meant to do that. We're not meant to be looking at computer screens all day long. It's not good for us. It's bad for your eyes. It's bad for your brain. And God knows what it's doing to little kids too. So I'm not surprised that there are additional benefits to being away from all of this electromagnetic soup that we're constantly living in. And we might not get the straight story from the hardware companies either, you know, because they have a product to sell. So they're not going to list off give you a list of side effects of this stuff. But so it may be that it might be a combination of a bunch of things. The electromagnetic frequencies that we deal with on a daily basis, the vaccine push, the technology that we have in our kids, or maybe even just parents too busy, too distracted themselves, working three jobs now because everything costs so much more. They don't have the time to spend with the kids and they're forced to grow up on television and tablets and things like that. So all of these things combined could play into this. It's definitely a dangerous world, a world that we didn't grow up with as kids. And so now we have to be aware of it and sort of monitor this, because if we leave it up to somebody else to tell us whether this is, you know, it's a good thing to, or a bad thing, well, we're probably not going to get straight answers. So I think parents need to take a little bit more responsibility for their kids and make sure that they are not connected all the time, all day long.
I mean, I agree with you, man. Like, ever since lockdown here, you know, my kids were always, we were always out of this place, out of the house, not doing anything fun. You know, we were always doing something though. We were like at work or in school. And then when we all got together, we would go out to eat. We would come home at about 9, 10 o'clock, not 9 times out of 10. Now we are always here. So what I do is, because my kids, they're just home, you know, and I'm like, they're older, you know, I have my nephew living with me and my eldest. I have a young guy that's different. But I tell them now, I've been actively doing this since about March. I'm like, listen, you guys got to go. So I'm like, go outside. I'm like, here's a basketball. Go play basketball. Go walk around. Go talk to some girls. Go do something. You know, just get out of here. You know, and we do it together. Like, as soon as we finish this, we're gonna go do something. We're gonna go get something to eat. But I try to get them out of here as much as possible. You know, and still, it's the concrete jungle, and there's a lot of drawbacks of being out here. You know, so 2 days ago, somebody got shot down the block, so I have to keep that in mind. Also, you know, it's the reality of things. But we can't be behind these four walls 24/7. It drives people freaking crazy. You understand? And that's one of the biggest side effects of this whole shutdown. But beyond that, before the lockdown, people were staying home just to play their video games 24/7. They didn't want to go outside to do anything. You know, they just wanted to play video or World of Warcraft was the thing that everybody was playing. People were dying in their basements because they did not want to leave. You know, and that's something we all need to keep in mind and try to do something to get ourselves back outside, get some vitamin D, you know, chill, you know, take it easy and do something like that. What's up, Tony Atterbury?
Well, 18 months ago, I lived in San Antonio, Texas on a very busy street and I had my gold and silver shop there. I decided to move up to the Ozarks. I've got 33 acres. I didn't do that on purpose though, Charlie. I got 33 acres in the Ozarks. So now we live off grid. I don't have, I don't even have electricity. I do rainwater collection and it really detoxes you. And I didn't know that, because you don't know until you know. And I have this little cabin that I have for myself, and I literally on the side of a large hill, or we could call it a mountain. And I feel after, you know, more than a year of staying out there, that I feel like I'm drifting towards more like spiritual things. And my thinking pattern is different. I notice when I stay in town, like if I stay in my office, sometimes I have to work late and I'll just stay here at the shop, that my mind and my physical reactions are different for the next 24 hours. So I think that there's something to that. I mean, we obviously, things aren't getting better. Our society is not better off. It's unfortunate. We have all this access to information. Like, I mean, kings would have killed for this, like, you know, generations ago, for what we have at our fingertips. But people seem to be dumber. And there's like a zombie apocalypse that could be just from the amount of the radio waves and the microwaves and all these things and the screen time. I mean, if I'm not, and so my screen time is cut way down. I mean, I do still listen to I Protest with Don Jeffries and Macroaggressions and The Infinite Fringe. I still got that going. If I jettisoned my phone, I'd have no, you know, radio waves around me, because right. I literally live like there's not even a power hookup. So I think it makes a huge difference. It's good to just go out and do grounding. You know, we talked about that before. We just take, you get your bare feet on the earth, you know, for as much time as you can, you know, maybe 5 minutes. If you can do that, you know, as two, three times a week, even, that's helpful. So I don't know. I didn't used to think that was a factor, but I'm becoming more and more on board, kind of like a hippie, where I'm just like, I just don't want any radio waves, you know? So
go ahead, finish up, Tone. I'm sorry.
No, I think if you, not everybody can do that, but you can do little things, you know, and, you know, just taking away the device. And I see kids and I just worry about them. You know, I have a 16-year-old son, and his mom didn't allow him to have a tablet for the longest time, I think till he's like 15. So he didn't get, but I see like 8-year-old kids, you know, 7-year-old kid. I'm just like, wow. I mean, so that's a lifetime of staring at that.
Yeah, man, it's a problem, you know, and like I've mentioned here before, I've become more and more attached to my cell phone, to the point where, I mean, about 2 years ago, I was about to get a flip phone, you know, because I was that unattached to it. But as time has gone on, I'm like, damn, I'm going to have to upgrade and get, you know, the newest iPhone in order to keep up with everything that I've got going on right now. And that's the demand of the artificial world. And I realized that it's not good for me, and I have to find a way to separate myself from this thing. But right now, I'm just stating the truth. It's like a part of me, and that's what they want, right? They want it to be a part of you. What's up, Don Jeffries?
Well, I'm not surprised to hear that being basically in nature and in a natural environment is going to cause less problems. So certainly, I think. And ADHD is an overblown diagnosis for a long time, because you look at probably 99% of little boys fit the bill for ADHD. I mean, they're going to fidget. That's just not so much girls, but little boys. I mean, they're all kind of that way. They're bouncing off the walls if you keep them sitting too much. There's a reason why, you know, children's movies, you know, didn't last that long in the old, because they realize how long can you even if it's so you're going to have them start throwing popcorn at the screen and stuff. We all did when we were kids. I mean, I don't know, I did, but I think, and of course, when you factor in the vaccines and the problems that we have, that where the autism on the autism spectrum, that ADHD is probably, I guess, at the bottom maybe of any kind of spectrum, but you know, probably half the kids that are the age of my kids probably have Asperger's or claim they have Asperger's. I mean, which nobody had heard of it 50 years ago. So I think a lot of the modern things play into that. And certainly this, the Matrix world, you know, the plugged in world that we're all a part of. And, you know, I admit, you know, I'm like a heroin addict with the internet. I'm literally, I would have withdrawal symptoms if I go, you know, a day, I could do it. I just don't think I could do it. That's how addicted I am to it. That's my world, the cyber world. But I recognize it's, you know, it's ridiculous. But it just is. That's where all my friends are now, you know, people like you. And in the real world, this is boring, you know, in comparison. But kids do need to go out and play. But unfortunately, it's been a trend for a long time. When my kids were little, already that had changed. When I was a kid, we all did go out and play. We rode our bikes for miles. I didn't wear shoes all summer long. You know, I calluses on my feet where I could play basketball on a blacktop because I just didn't wear shoes. Just didn't. And it was a great, but it was a different world. I've commented all the time. I don't know where all the pedophiles were back then. Certainly could have nabbed me and had me across five state lines before my parents knew where I was. I was always miles from home. I could, maybe I wasn't attractive, but I mean, none of the kids that I know were, we didn't think about strangers. You know, your parents didn't think, okay, I'll see you 7 hours later. Be home, by dark. There's no cell phone, nothing. So, I mean, what can be done to a kid in 7 hours? Never even crossed our minds. I never saw anybody that was even remotely like a bad stranger. So I don't know where those people were then. If they weren't around me or around anybody I knew, but it was a different world. But you didn't have the organization. But by the time my kids came along, everything became organized. Tony probably knows this, where everything's structured activities. My kids played organized sports. Daughter was Girl Scouts, did dance classes. That's what you had. Everything was structured. And, your parents drove you back and forth. You had a little bit of kids playing outside together and just random pickup activities, but not so much. And, a lot of it was because of that fear of those pedophiles that are around every corner that apparently didn't exist before. So it already had changed. And now it's you don't even have the organized activities, I guess, now since COVID. So everything is the kid can go, he turns on his laptop and certainly a cell phone. And if the terrorists ever decided to take down the cell phone towers, what would that do? What would that do to the millennials? I literally think they just collapse in the streets. Like somebody unplugged them. That's how plugged in we all are to the matrix. But that's not surprising to me. I mean, I think and what Tony talks about would be great. I wish I could do it, but like I said, I'd have to have the internet with me, let alone electricity or anything else. So I'm not one that can set up a camp out in the great outdoors or something. I wouldn't be too self-sufficient, unfortunately. But it's obviously a good thing for the kids to be out and to, as Tony said, stick your feet on the earth, get a sense of where you really are in the real world and understand it's completely different from the cyber world we're in right now, even as we speak.
Well, you said, that everybody's plugged in, right? And that was one of the bases of America Unplugged, right? To unplug a little bit, at least 1 or 2 hours a day, to chill out and not, not interact with all of the technology around. And I try to do that. I still try to do that at least 1 hour a day. And I know that's not a lot, but if you guys got a picture of everything that's around me right now, I know Tone's seen my setup. It's nothing but like computers and a board. And I mean, everything artificial you can think of. But, I try to unplug as much as possible. Like I try to put my phone away. And now that I'm in school, I even get whiplash from some of the professors because I don't respond to emails as quickly as I should. And they're like, why isn't the app on your phone so you can respond to these emails? They literally tell me this, like, and this is something that is expected, right, of you at this point. And when I was working for my corporate job, you could not have that phone on you. And I would get 500 emails a day, and I had to respond back to it no matter what I was doing, whether I was on the clock or not. So that's where what we're evolving to, right? And eventually, wearable technology becomes implantable technology. And that's because, it's a pain in the ass to hold these things. So yeah, let's get a microchip that does all of that, and that's going to be the next stage, and it's really disturbing in a lot of ways. But we should unplug for at least an hour a day. And chill out. Try to meditate a bit. That's incredibly difficult to do, to clear your mind of all the thought. It's I don't know. I haven't been able to do it. I hear that people are, but I can't. One more story and we'll get up out of here, because I do want to talk about the Lord and Master of the Martian race, Mr. Elon Musk. Ladies and gentlemen, he was predicted by Wernher von Braun to somebody by the name of Elon. And it just so happens that Elon Musk is here right now attempting to somehow colonize Mars. He says he's going to send 1 million people over to Mars, a one-way trip, mind you. You're not coming back, dead or alive. That's it. You're going over to Mars and they want to colonize Mars. Well, I mean, why do they want to do that? And it's more than just him. It's several billionaires that are infatuated with colonizing Mars. It takes me back to Cydonia, right? And they had, you know, the face on Mars, which I always thought was fascinating, you know, and the three pyramid structures that were up there, you know, and it's crazy, you know, like the similarities to ancient Egypt. And I think it's Cairo means Mars, if I'm not mistaken, you know. So I'll look that up throughout the course of this discussion before we wrap up, and I'll let you know if that's exactly what it is. But Cairo means Mars. So there's a connection there. Regardless, they want to go up there. They want to colonize. And it was predicted decades ago. Mr. Charlie Robinson, I'm going to you first.
Well, I have no problems with us looking to expand our footprint. But if you're looking to get off of this planet because things have been screwed up so badly, what's to say that you won't make the same mistakes on Mars? So look, I mean, I feel like if we're going to prioritize our spending, because obviously this it's not going to happen for free. I feel like there's a lot of other things we could work on until we sort out some of the low hanging fruit here, the homelessness and starvation and the wars and all of this stuff. I mean, frankly, we're not ready to go to Mars. I mean, we're a savage society, and we will do unspeakable things there like we do here, because it's part of our nature. We need to get ourselves sort of sorted out first before we start exporting our brand of insanity all across the solar system, you know. So I'm in favor of planetary discoveries. I'm in favor of science and all of this good stuff. I have major questions about anybody that's too popular and too well liked by the establishment, because then that makes me suspicious of them and their relationship. And of course, Elon Musk through Tesla and SpaceX have massive government contracts, massive government handouts. So I keep my eyes open on this guy. I'm not in the camp that fully trusts Elon Musk. He seems nice. He's got he's talked about interesting things. He smoke a joint on Joe Rogan and all that stuff. But I've seen that happen before, where they try to normalize somebody and then you watch that they're not anything like that in real life. So I'm cautiously optimistic about this whole thing.
Well, maybe we can just make them stay up there, right? All the billionaires, all the elites, they go and then they never come back to Earth. That's fantastic. I'd like to remake Earth without them. So I just looked this up real quick, and then I'm going to you, Tone. It says, and this is per Google. Well, Cairo's unofficial name is Al-Kahira, which means literally place of camp of Mars. That's what it means. So there you go. Take that for what you will. What's up, Mr. Atterburn?
I learn something new every time I come on the show.
It's gold, baby.
It's such a privilege. No, I mean, I'd known about Von Braun's writing about the Elon colonizing Mars for quite some time. He also supposedly predicted like a Project Bluebeam situation where there'd be like a fake alien invasion. Yeah. So that's interesting, something to watch. I'm all about us exploring the stars and getting off the planet. I think that's a lot of what these false flags like 9/11 and COVID-1984 are all about, stunting our growth. But I am curious as to why we don't go to the moon. I mean, that seems like it's closer. It's right there. You always hear about colonizing Mars and no one's going to the moon, or they always put the timeline out just a little bit farther. And of course, I've listened to Charlie lay this all out, and, you know, about the Apollo missions. And it's an open question for me now, even though I've met Apollo astronauts and, you know, talked to them about their experiences. Maybe we'll be looking at the new documentary 20 years from now, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Mars. I don't know. I'm always looking for exploration and growing as a species. And, you know, I think looking to the stars, that's a great idea. Elon Musk, mixed bag, somebody that puts a neural link into a chimpanzee or to a pig. That's a bit sociopathic, don't you think?
Just a little bit.
Linking them up to the internet. I mean, why would you poison them? They're already perfect. You know, why are you putting something horrible in their brain? So no, open question. I'm all about exploration. Elon Musk, the jury's out for me.
But what do you think of the prediction pretty much etched out decades and decades ago?
Yeah, I mean, the Matrix does predictive programming, doesn't it? I mean, these elites fall. I mean, there's so much coding in it. I mean, you have to, I mean, you peel back the layers further and further. It's like all the worship of Aleister Crowley in September 11th, you know, I mean, just like, oh, this is mind boggling. But yeah, maybe that's another one of those things. It's just not explainable at this time, where you have these weird predictions and laying out of the future, and the name, that's pretty spot on.
Beautiful. What's up, Don? What do you got?
Well, I think it's probably appropriate that Wernher von Braun oversaw the largely or totally fake NASA space program is the one to make a prediction about Elon Musk, who may participate in the next step of it. But yeah, I mean, I'm probably more dubious than Charlie or Tony about this. I mean, Dave McGowan's Wagon the Moondog series, late great Dave McGowan, put me over. I was on the fence before that, but I suggest anyone that thinks that we went to the moon, read that. I mean, it's just a fantastic series. It just, you know, again, why haven't we been back? As Tony mentioned, they tell you that we have the technology to do that. So for them to talk, it's very fanciful fantasy, I think, to talk about going to Mars. Well, they tell you they can't go back to the moon. So I don't know how we're going to circumvent the Van Allen radiation belt this time, how we think something like that can happen. But yeah, there's lots of people, you know, I'd love to, managed to Mars, so I'd love to see the elite go there. Let's have Bill Gates could be president of Mars. Proletariat, just run a whole colony there and send all the eugenicists there, so they don't have to worry about the people that they're tempted to kill here. You know, they aren't fit enough. Let all of us who aren't quite fit enough to join them here. But I'd love to see them start their own colony in Mars. I'm sure they'd do a bang up job. They wouldn't have anybody employed there. Maybe we can send them illegal immigrants as well too, when we run out of rum here, because you know, they're going to be in search of cheap labor. But I don't know if Elon Musk is, I think that as Billy Ray and I have said many times, fan of Twilight Zone, you know, don't go on the ship. So if they tell you there's right. a ship to Mars and they're asking for volunteers, don't go on the ship.
Won't go on. It's a cookbook.
It's a cookbook.
It's a freaking cookbook, Tone. That's right. Don't do it. Don't do it, man. Hey, personally, man, I don't know if, you know, and I want to believe this, right? I want to believe that we can go to Mars. I want to believe that all these planets that they've discovered, you know, that we can somehow travel to them and be there. But are we able to do that in a physical sense as humans? You know, like, is it meant for us to do, really? Like, I don't know. You know, like the environment isn't fit for a human body, right? We have to alter it in order to get there. So maybe it's not meant for us to get there, you know, and it might be impossible for us to get to certain spots. Or maybe not necessarily impossible, but it's going to take a long, long time for us to do, you know. And then we may actually start seeing some evolution of the human race, right? They say that aliens are humans that made it off of here and they had to change. Their bodies changed as a result, you know, of being in a different environment. And that's why they look the way they look. But I don't know personally if we were meant to go up there, at least not in that manner. Maybe spiritually we're able to go to these places, but not necessarily in the physical form. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. America Unplugged, ladies and gents. I had a hell of a time today with all three of you fine gentlemen. Incredible. Mr. Tony Atterburn, tell everybody where they can find you.
You can go to atterburn.news or wisewolf.gold. Easy place to find me.
Fantastic. Mr. Don Jeffries, what's going on?
Oh, my blog is donaldjeffries.wordpress.com. I'm writing on Substack now, so and I call it I Protest, just like my radio show. So please look me up there. I need subscribers. I'm still not sure how you get paid there. Somebody tells me you can get paid. I don't know if it's the number of subscribers or views or whatever, but more subscribers, more views are always good. My books are out there everywhere. Bullyocracy is the latest. My book on Chobits is coming out. Google me and you'll find out more than you want to know, as I always say.
Absolutely. Go ahead and Google them. And of course, our guest today, Mr. Charlie Robinson. It's been a pleasure to have you. Thank you very much. We had a lot of fun with you, brother. Tell them where they can find you.
Well, thanks for having me. You can find me at theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can catch my podcast, Macroaggressions, in audio format everywhere and also in video format. right here on Iconic, also on Rockfin, Odyssey, and of course ThemTube for as long as they'll allow me.
ThemTube, ladies and gents. This is America Unplugged. My name is Billy Ray Valentine. Thank you for hanging out yet another week. We really appreciate everybody that listens, everybody that watches, and the whole deal. Thank you very much. We're getting out of here. Don't burn the place down while I'm gone, all right? Take it easy.